grab your torch and dip it for the final time into the sexy Mr. Jeff candle. Because No Buffs is back. I'm J.E. Skeets, along with my fellow tribe members, two guys who love to get radical. We got Trey Kirby and No Dunk Super Producer J.D.
Hello.
Love and live to get radical, I believe. And we also have a special guest. Oh my God! He's back from the edge of COVID extinction. It's been too damn long. Crooked Media Zone, Jason Concepcion. Jason, what's up?
It's delightful to be here. Thank you for having me. What a great time to be alive and be a fan of Survivor.
How are you holding up?
I'm almost all the way back. I would say I would say 95% back from my tussle with the novel coronavirus COVID-19, and just feeling great and enthusiastic about being here today.
And let's
talk about
the
best show on television.
Well, the best show on television right now. But when it comes to media, you're working on a lot of things. So congratulations on the big news. Do you want to share that with the Survivor world? What exactly is coming down the pipeline for you? Yeah.
Shay Serrano, a multiple-time New York Times best-selling author, Shay Serrano and I wrote a movie a couple years ago, a year and a half ago. We sold it to Hulu. They're making the movie, directed by the great Oz Rodriguez of Vampires in the Bronx fame, and they're shooting it right now in upstate New York.
Wow. Congratulations. That is huge.
Fine. I'll watch it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I guess.
For you.
We'll watch it. We'll do a podcast on it.
For sure.
Yeah. Shout out to the Live Tribe for joining us live right now on YouTube. Hello to all our podcast listeners as well. Don't forget to leave your No Buffs Boys a 5-star rating and review. But yeah, we are talking about the finale of Survivor 42. Congratulations to another Canadian winner, baby. Canada's cracked the code here when it comes to Survivor. Marianne winning with 7 votes. Jason, it looks like you're pumped that Marianne was the winner of Survivor 2. And did you like the season overall? We haven't talked to you all season long.
I know. It was a really delightful and entertaining and surprising season. Marianne, an absolutely fitting winner. Much like Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, she snatched it at the speech stage. She snatched it. She grasped it from Mike, who I think many people were leaning toward. Mike fumbled the bag, and Marianne was right there to sweep it up. And what a wonderful, fitting, and delightful, and energetic winner.
Yeah, that's what people are saying. I mean, I guess that Probst did it in the after show. When the pizza and the champagne came up, he asked, show of hands here. Who came into this final tribal council sort of undecided or maybe leaning towards Mike? And a lot of hands went up.
Mike doesn't believe it. He ain't buying it.
He's not buying that.
He ain't buying it. Wow. I think they just raised their hands because they were on TV.
Well, look. Which,
nonetheless, it certainly, at least the way it was edited, the responses, the facial reactions from all of the jury members and the lines of questioning that they were going down, it at least felt like Marianne straight up convinced them to vote for her to win this, and that if Mike would have said exactly what they wanted to hear, he probably is the $1 million winner.
Not a great communicator, Mike. Like, it was very clear that Mike was not aware of the game he played. You know, like, he's sitting there like, I tried to play an honest game, but I guess you all are telling me that I did lie. You've been telling me for 2 hours that I lied to all of you. So I guess I did lie. Like, he was not aware that he had played Survivor, essentially. And then Marianne was ready with all the – I thought her first answer about, hey, I noticed how all the young people were going out early, so I pulled it back.
Right.
I decided to not seem strategic. And I thought that was a great start. The way she framed the idol reveal, first of all, brilliant. Because the wow factor of pulling it out, you heard the jury gasp, and I knew she had him at that point. But if you really analyze it, her she had an idol that she did nothing with, right?
Did not play it.
Did not use it to leverage anybody. Did not try to make a deal with it or save an ally. And then she framed that as my masterstroke. Look at this, and it was a beautiful, incredible, and so effective display of communication. And that's how she won it. She was just a better communicator than Mike at the final moment.
Yeah, 100%. The pocket immunity idol was a big play, but she paired it so nicely, I think is what you're saying here, Jason, like with the whole like, Omer, this is what happened. And then this is why I was set up to always be here. When she started rattling off, like, basically every scenario when you got down to the final six of why she was going to be there, like, they were like, their minds were like being blown. Totally. They're like, holy crap. Like, and
you
she's
were
right.
thinking about this.
Yeah, you were actually playing this game. So she just, you're right. I mean, I think that's one of the greatest performances we've seen at Final Tribal Council. And I think, you know, Romeo did the best he could do in the circumstance. Yeah, Mike, okay, look, it took him a while. I think like near the end of it, he maybe started to figure it out. Like, oh, I should have come about this a little different way. But she, I mean, I don't even think it would have mattered what they had done because she was like that great. And you, it sounds like you agree, Jason.
Yeah, I do. And for Romeo, you know, it was clear that the personal journey was, if anything, more important than winning.
Yeah.
And that was, that hit me in my heart. That was to watch that evolution happen. And to have him own that, own his identity in that way, it was really fulfilling. That was really wonderful. I loved Romeo's journey, even though he really, you know, he did not have a good shot to win this thing.
No, yeah, he was on the bottom the entire time. Yeah. He got called a cockroach and a goat and a bird who fell out of a nest.
Yep.
But he also got like a huge W. I felt like actually winning the spinning balls challenge and getting to make the call. Even he says in like his exit interviews, he's like, I knew I wasn't going to win.
Right.
So for me, actually competing and pulling off an immunity win was my win. So shout out to him. He did great in this episode. I thought he was actually pretty solid at Final Tribal Council. Like, it seemed like at least he could have gotten a vote. He didn't, but it seemed like he could have gotten one, which was more than I thought going into the tribal.
Yeah, JD, jump in here. What'd you think of Marianne, another Canadian winning, and how she did? And like, you know, this was your, well, look, you were saying Omer was winning this game for a long time.
Yeah.
We talked about the Go Train Alliance between Marianne and Omer, but then you pivoted after Omer went out and you said you were cheering for Marianne.
Yeah.
She comes through.
I was on that Go Train Alliance and I just stayed on the train with Marianne right till the end there. And I mean, I'm bursting with national pride. I agree with everything that you guys have just said. You know, it kind of reminded me of playing Mario Karts and you're just about to get to the finish line. I'm Mike. And then Marianne just uses one of her power-ups and I shrink down to the itty-bitty size and she just zooms right by me.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like. It was just, and it's so rare to see a move, like an actual move at Tribal Council, and just to see the jury light up and make up their minds right then and there. I don't think I've ever seen that in Survivor, and it was just a goddamn delight.
It did feel a little bit like, could this be a new strategy going forward? You're like, you're under the radar for the majority of the season. You're making moves, but maybe people don't know so much about them. But you do have one big move to pull at Final Tribal Council. I mean, it's going to be tough to keep. I mean, it's tough already for people to keep their idols a secret, but to not do anything until Final Tribal Council, that's a good way to stay off people's radar.
Oh, that, even her just adding that line at Tribal Council, Jason, was this is the only secret. Everybody else shared their secrets, all their advantages, everything you got. Everybody knew. At some point, somebody else knew. And this right here, this idol that I did nothing with and didn't have to, at least it was a secret. I thought that was even a brilliant little addition. Like, she just nailed it perfectly.
It's very clear that she went in and thought a lot about what her argument was going to be, the pacing of it. She reacted very well to the questions and reframed her answers to fit with the questions. And then that final, you know, that final reveal with the idol, you're exactly right. You know, this is the final secret. Mm-hmm. And to pull it out, it was a master stroke. And you just knew when the jury went, that's it. We're done. Yeah. We're done. Marianne won it right there. It was like a Few Good Men or something. Like, did you order the code red? Like, it was that dramatic and perfectly executed.
Were you shocked at all that she got 7 of the 8 votes and that there weren't more maybe going to Mike? Like, how did you feel heading into the final episode last night? Were you like, obviously we didn't know who was going to be there in the final three at that point, but like, what were you thinking heading in last night?
I thought Mike probably had the best shot. Yeah. I think that Marianne, because she kind of came on late, that she was going to have an uphill climb with some of the jury who had gone out before she really started playing, or, you know, obviously playing.
Yep.
And so that was going to be, she was going to have a little bit of a story to tell to get them on board. I thought Mike, if he wanted it, had a great story about a 58-year-old guy who's been watching Survivor all his life, is older than everybody. These are like his kids and in some cases grandkids out here, and he's connecting with them and what that meant and what it would mean to him to play not just on a social level but on a physical level with these other competitors. And it was frustrating to watch him fumble that, but I thought Mike had the best shot of anybody. I thought that Jonathan, it was hard to understand where the votes were going to come from for him. Obviously, an incredible physical competitor, but I just didn't see it. Romeo was goated for most of the season. And so it was really Mike and Marianne at that point. And I think I was leaning Mike.
Could Mike have done anything like differently, you think, at Tribal Council to got enough votes, Trey?
I think if he comes out and owns all of the moves he made, saying I was playing as a man of integrity, knowing that I was going to have to build these bonds and then stab people in the back, I think he at least gets more than one vote.
Right.
And excuse me, probably makes it pretty close, all things considered. Because I think he said, even in his exit interview, he's like, I thought this was going to be like a game of poker where you bluff somebody who has you beat, but then when they realize you bluff them, they're like, ah, you're a good guy. That was a pretty smooth move you pulled. Which is exactly what would have happened if he would have been like, yeah, here's all the moves I pulled. Here's how I got close to people and did it. But he was obviously just kind of scuffling when they were bringing it up to him until the point where he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I did tell a lot of people I was going to help them out, and then I didn't.
Yeah. And like the number one rule is like when they say, okay, like you pretend or whatever. You say you're going to play this game of integrity and all that, whatever. And then he goes, yes. And then they go, well, you did it. You lied to me. But then he would always go, yeah, but you lied to me first.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, but don't say that. That's a dumb way to approach it when you're trying to get their vote in a game of deception and stuff like that. I thought, like, yeah, we're all saying the same thing here. He could have done better. I think he started to realize it at the end, at least in terms of the editing, that it was like, oh, geez, maybe I really should have came about this a little more aggressively. Like, ha, I got you. Mm-hmm. Like, my social skills, and despite being older, like you were saying, Jason, I that was just all a part of my plan, and it worked perfectly because I'm sitting here, and he did it way, way, way too late, I thought, into that tribal council.
I always think about Denise Stapley's intro to her jury speech as the kind of platonic ideal about how you do it if you are trying to square an honorable, keep my word type of game with lies. And she was just like, you know what? I'm not going to apologize for how I played to get here, some of the lies I've told, because this is Survivor and that's what it takes to win, essentially. Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing. And I thought that was, you know, if Mike had done that, I think he had a good chance. But again, he just didn't know that he played that way. That was clear.
Yeah.
He was not aware of it. He didn't know that he did that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Back to Marianne. I was trying to think about this in terms of the winner here of Survivor 42. We looked at her as just like a big character. I mean, Probst loved her right from the jump. Everybody did, really. And I think it's really rare for like a big, big, big character to then go on to win the game. Like,
totally.
You look at the 40 winners of this game. How many are like actually big, big characters that also won the game? Tony comes to mind, sure. Boston Rob, yeah. But a lot of these people played more than once. Mm-hmm. Tyson, even, I would throw in that list. Yep. Characters. Female-wise, Jason, like, who is a really big character that won the game? Like, was Sandra even a really, really big character? I mean, I don't know. I don't think so.
It's hard to... I can't think of anyone who has played like Marianne, as energetic and as boisterous and as young and as young acting as she was. Like, usually... She's exactly right in what she said at the end there. Usually there is an implicit bias against the younger players in the game. The rest of the players are less apt to give them some slack when they are being annoying. They don't want to give a young person the money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Marianne overcame all that. I don't think we've ever seen that before.
Yeah, I thought it was cool that she even kind of mentioned that as part of her final tribal council. It's like, y'all were voting out all of the young people, so I had to kind of take a little bit of a step back, just with the way that we've been recording the show and, you know, like the playoffs being on. I've been watching a lot in the mornings, so Laura hasn't seen a ton of these episodes. She watched the finale last night. She's like, Marianne seems like a totally different person from the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And that's like something to me that I didn't necessarily see because we're watching it every week, talking about it every week. But if you see, you know, 2 months later, the change, like she's just out there having fun in the beginning of it. And by the end, she's like laying out perfect cases for why she did everything she did in the final half of the season. So the growth from her is incredible. I think if she comes out to the season the same way she was at the end of the season, we probably don't think of her necessarily as much of as a character, you know, like along the lines of JD last season or Nasir. I think we even compared her to. It's almost like if Rupert actually won a Survivor.
I know. Yeah. And that's what I said. Yeah. Like when we started
the most fun
podcasting.
Out there and you're playing?
That's exactly what I said. Three episodes in to no buffs for this season, Jason, I was comparing, obviously wrongly, that I was like, is Marianne just a female version of Rupert? Like, what a character, but like, will never have a chance to win this game, is sort of like out of her league. And I'm like, of course, proven to be terribly wrong. I can't ever see Rupert winning the game or pulling off moves that she did or obviously like lining things up to go her way. But yeah, she's one of the most unique winners for sure.
Absolutely. Can I ask the group a question? Is this the worst puzzle talent we've ever seen in a Survivor?
That's up there.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, look, when Mike is winning a puzzle, I think that says something.
Also seems really tough to me. I think Lindsay said that she didn't realize until she had four pieces left that it was a double-sided puzzle. Like, that's pretty wild.
Whoa.
But also, I mean, when you're building a puzzle, you do the outside first.
Yeah, but that
then
looks,
you got to try and do the inside of this. They're like leaning up against it and just trying to smash it. That looked pretty tough.
Yeah, it looked very difficult. Let's talk about the whole decision with Mike giving his idol to Marianne and then Marianne not really doing anything. Like, all of the decisions she had to make, Jason, like, were you surprised at that one part where it was like, wow, she's really not going to do anything? She's not going to save Lindsay? But
I was, because I thought that the move that she laid out, in which she plays her idol for Lindsay and then flips the vote on Jonathan.
Right.
You know, I think her words were, the more impactful move is when you flip the vote on somebody who wasn't expecting to be voted out. I thought that was, you guarantee the win if you pull that off.
Yeah.
Like that, I thought it was worth doing because you, particularly if you get the idol from Mike, because you're safe, one, and then you make a move that shocks everybody in the most public way at the latest stage, you know, at the death of the game, and you basically sew your case up at that point. So I was a little surprised. I'm a little, you know, Mike's reasoning for giving it up in that moment, I guess it was like, I got to keep my word late in the game, you know.
I gave you my word first, I guess.
I gave you my word first. But again, kind of indicative of Mike playing from the heart as he had been pretty much throughout the entire game.
Mm-hmm. One of the tells, I thought, of that final five tribal council, the jury did not look impressed with Mike coming in with the necklace on. I don't know if you saw that. He walked in and they were like, they weren't very pumped about that. I was like, uh-oh, that doesn't maybe mean Mike's going to go on to win this game. But JD, were you surprised? Like, I was yelling at my TV, like, what Jason was saying, like, oh my God. Yeah, save Lindsay, get Jonathan out. That's going to be another huge move. And if you get there at the end, you're a lock to win. But she's weighing it out in her head, like, this is the thing. Everybody was like, I can beat Jonathan.
Yeah.
Jonathan's like basically Romeo at this point. Like, they couldn't be different looking wise, but they're the same when it comes to the game. And she,
his weakness is being strong.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what Roxbury would say. You're right. But were you shocked just as much as I was, JD?
Oh, totally. I thought that was going to be the big move. And it would have been.
Shocking.
It would have been cool. For sure. But then, you know, hindsight 2020. It ended up being way cooler when it ended up happening.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately, you know, she didn't really care, really. I think she, in her mind, she probably could have beaten either of them.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think she made the right call because she wins the game. But
right.
It feels like Lindsay did have more friends on the jury.
They had a lot of respect for her.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, you know, smart move by Marianne to not keep her around. And also a little bit of a flex to just be like, I got him to play his idol on me for literally no reason.
Yeah.
You know, and then she was able to keep it around to have it for her jury performance.
And then at this tribal council too, I don't want to forget this fun part. Romeo playing the fake idol, Jason. what'd you think of that move?
Listen, obviously the edit being what it is, we don't know what really happened, like he talked about his idol, never brandished it, was never questioned about it, and then pulls it out at the tribal and burns it. It's like, you gotta do more than just say, I have an... Like, you have to show it to somebody, don't you? Now, listen, there were other problems. There's no paper with it, which is the ultimate red flag, whatever. You know, an idol appears at that stage. But I guess points for trying, but...
Yeah.
You've got to be more fully committed to the fake idol bit if you're going to go through the trouble of making the fake idol.
Yeah, I love how many times he brought it up, too, because he's trying for anything. He doesn't have a whole lot to go on, and he just kept saying, you know, I had that fake idol. And everyone was like, yeah, but no one really cared.
Was it a bracelet? It looked like he made an idol bracelet.
Yeah, it was. He's got a small neck. I mean, I guess I could go around his neck. I don't know. He's a skinny guy. I'm a skinny guy. I could probably put that on. But
stretchy enough.
It was amazing too, the editing of that, because he's like, hold on, I have something I want to play. Cut to the jury. Whoa, everybody's like, what? Romeo, you crazy? And then he's just basically right away like, yeah, this is a fake. So I'm just going to throw it in the fire. That was my other favorite.
Bom, 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 bom.
Yeah. Anyway.
He didn't even have to get up to do it. He just reached over and plop.
Dropped in.
You know, look, we're like obviously having some fun at his expense. But could Romeo, if he decides to take Marianne to the final three and he puts Mike and Jonathan into the fire. What if he takes Jonathan? And puts Marianne in there, and Mike beats Marianne, let's just say, hypothetically, in the fire-making challenge. So it's Romeo, Mike, and Jonathan at the end. Is there any chance at all Romeo could have pulled this off? Like, or is it still, Jason, we'll start with you, going to probably Mike in that instance? Like, or you know, if Mike fumbles the bag, like you said, and, like, won't own up to anything. I don't know. It's not maybe that far-fetched.
I think it's still a long shot, but considering Mike's... you know, kind of clumsiness in communicating his case, and if Romeo had really just gone crazy speech-wise, and maybe, you know, fudged the facts a little bit in how he got there, you know, an Erica case lying in the cut, waiting for my moment, etc. I think when it came time to say, okay, what was the move that you made, that was going to be a little tougher, but I don't think it's impossible against Mike, although he certainly would have been the favorite, and as we all have mentioned, Jonathan has no votes out there, so it's just you and Mike, and what's going to happen. So I think he would have had a shot, but it's still an uphill battle.
Yeah,
I think he would have had to put himself in fire, right?
Romeo
would have had to.
Wow. And yeah, you got to do fire. That's good. You got to go fire.
You need that ballsy move. He had his fake idol. He did win the last immunity challenge as well, which is huge. I mean... there is a universe, I think. I mean, can he make fire? I don't even know.
Good call.
I'm not sure.
You know, he's pretty famous for not doing much around camp. So
eating rice.
Exactly. But I think you factor in making fire and then just, as Jason says, just killing it, like going nuts.
Yeah. That was a pretty epic fire challenge between the two.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. You know, we've seen them go a lot longer before and struggle a lot more. And man, Mike just had an inferno going, I guess Probst was calling it.
And by the way, after that, Mike was done. Mike shut off. The competitive engine shut off. Totally. Mike was very, very happy after that. And that was the end of Mike trying anymore. Like, he was done.
That's a good point.
We saw that three times, I think, this... let me get myself on there. This episode. We saw Lindsay gave up, I think. As soon as she lost immunity, all she could do was beg. Like, that was her strategy. She just begged beg Mike, please, please play your idol on me.
Yeah, she tried to guilt trip him.
Yeah, but I think...
A little bit of no tears crying also.
Yeah. But that's a terrible strategy. Like, she should have been like, you should take me because these other people are not, you're not going to beat them. Like, right, just right. sell it a little more. Yeah. Just begging is not a good look mm-hmm. to be taken through. So, and we saw Jonathan just give up at the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Like, he just stopped.
Oh, he literally doing stopped.
It. Yeah. He literally stopped.
Yeah. Like, I mean, these go together? That's crazy.
I mean, that's Survivor 101. Never give up, right? Yeah. Because Mike was very close to toppling that whole yeah. damn thing yeah. over. So, you know, I get that he's not good at puzzles and he probably didn't have a chance. But yeah, Jason, I 100% agree. He gave up as soon as he won that fire. He's like, I've just won this game. I think mm-hmm. he just thought in his mind.
Oh, you think he was coming in there pretty confident?
Oh, I think he thought he was going to win. Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You agree?
Oh yeah, I think he said basically as much. Like, I thought I had it going into Final Tribal Council because he thought they were going to respect his game for the right. way he played, but he had to like admit that he'd played that way. I also thought Jeff was getting a little worried for Mike the way he was talking about his fire. He's like, Mike. Throwing a lot yeah. of coconut yeah, husk on yeah. there. Burns quickly, and there ain't a lot in there. Just throwing sticks on. No real plan here.
He did.
Meanwhile, you got
that.
Roxroy going like this. Got yeah. Roxroy like this over there in the jury. Teepee it up.
It
Make
turns out the guy whose job is fires is good with fire.
Yeah.
And didn't need any advice from anybody.
Oh, it still drives me nuts. I think I brought this up on No Bus in season 41. When they're practicing fire, because we saw a lot of that, of course, everybody getting ready, not knowing who was going to go in at the point. We didn't know if Marianne was going to be in it, Jonathan, Mike, whatever. Practice on a surface, a higher yeah. level.
Not on a leaf. Yeah.
Stop doing it on the ground. At one point I saw Mike, he was like practicing on the side to him. Like, you're not gonna be set up like that. Get like a stump, get maybe a rock what? Even down by the water, something just elevated. Get used to that little height
what was,
there.
What was Jonathan looking at? When
oh, yeah.
on the lead up to fire, he's looking over there like,
yeah, he's counting the sticks or something.
Like studying, like, yeah. What is he looking
oh, that's
at?
That's his move. That's he did that for almost every challenge. He would, while Jeff was explaining what was going on, he'd be like, all right, okay. I'm just sizing the whole thing up. And I noticed this for the first time, and I heard Tyson mention it a couple of weeks ago on his podcast, the knives that they give them for the flint, so much smaller, and it was almost flimsy in Jonathan's hand. So, all the practice in the world, of course, yes.
Yeah.
Practice. But I was actually worried that Jonathan. I always get worried that these guys are going to cut themselves. Like whoever's doing the fire challenge, because
yeah.
there's so much pressure. Ugh. You're slapping a knife with, and then burns too. Like, you know, just
oh,
reaching over
the
fire.
No problem.
Like, yeah.
Playing for $1 million, JD.
Hey, I get it. I get it. It's the dad in me, though.
Hoboken points.
Yeah. My beard would go up in flames.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. You guys would be at a disadvantage with your long beards.
Totally.
Have to keep your heads back, for sure.
Or an advantage.
I couldn't believe with the challenge. Oh, yeah. Light your beard on fire and then put it on the
Never
rope.
Said anything
is that
about
legal?
This, Jeff.
Jeff. Oh,
Jeff would freak out. I don't know what we could do. It was
it's a survivor
beard
first. He's lighting his beard on fire.
Oh my god. Back to the challenge that ultimately Romeo wins. What did they call it? Samotion? Is that what it's named after, the guy that made it? Who was
yeah.
who bu- oh, we got a backstory on this challenge that some
yeah,
guy
was
just
after,
bored or something? Made this
after
game.
All these years to get a backstory on that one.
Yeah, this has been around since
China, he said.
Oh, I thought it was Token Cheese.
Oh, I thought
China.
He said it was
wow.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. That's a long time ago. But Mike, Jason, dropping the ball. I mean, you say fumble in the bag, dropping the
oh
ball. Ball, one word.
No. I mean, that was so embarrassing,
yeah.
folks.
Yeah.
Come on. You can't. It was like the third or the third ball, maybe. It was certainly like below 10 number of balls
oh,
that
yeah.
popped out. Like, you can't. You can't drop the first ball.
Yeah.
Come on.
No. People are saying for that challenge, it may have been the worst performance too, because
oh, easily.
Marianne goes out at like two balls,
yeah.
I think. Well, that's not great. And then, you know, Jonathan kept doing this thing with his arm.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like,
right.
dude, you don't
left
need to
right.
stretch while you're waiting for the ball. Oh, you thought he was like going left and right because he just kept going.
That's why I thought Jeff was saying the only thing that matters is that little bridge
yeah.
that goes left
yeah.
and right.
Yeah, but then he, yeah. Right. So he kept doing that little wrist thing and then he. What he really screwed up was on the fourth ball drop, he got a little too cute. Because you're doing the whole pacing thing, like the spacing it out. I get that. But he was like, he was waiting too long and then finally dropped. And then it was by the time. I think he then forgot which way the gate was going and then dropped the ball. So Romeo with the big win. But yeah, I do. Well, I guess here's a question. Do you like seeing these challenges time and time and time again, Jason? Or would you like some fresh challenges near the end here?
No, I like it. I particularly like that one.
Yeah.
As it seems like it is very, very often the closing challenge. And I think it's a great one. Listen, these folks have been through days and weeks of malnutrition and intense physical exertion. And then now they've spent 3 days without a shelter on the open beach, you know, like it's, let's give them something that is physical, but also requires focus, and doesn't kill them on the last day. I like it. I particularly like this one. And I like seeing, I like the through line of seeing some of these challenges again, because you know, it works.
Yeah. It's definitely fair, the challenge. Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. It's like anyone of any size can do that. Romeo straight up beasted that challenge. So
challenge beast.
I would say it's very fair. And then the other challenge we had in this one, which I guess had a reward on it too. This was the whole, was this the whole pasta, red sauce, garlic bread, red wine, cake. Probst giving us the menu.
He wants some meat sauce.
I'm convinced.
He wants some meat sauce.
Jeff Probst, Jason, I think when this is done, his Survivor run, he's going to open a restaurant. There's nothing this guy loves more than like reading a menu and like getting sure, you know, do you need more champagne? Do you need more pizza? Like he loves it. So I think he's opening a Survivor restaurant.
He does.
Yeah. But we had the bigger challenge, which was like this one. Again, we've seen like versions of this, like the big obstacle course where you got to go get the bags and come back, ultimately ending in that huge, crazy puzzle, the big circular puzzle. But yeah, that's sort of a staple too at this point, right, Jason? When we get to like the final five, it feels like we get one of those type of obstacle courses.
It is. Let me ask you this. Would it have been, obviously hindsight being 2020, would it have made more sense for Lindsay to save her energy for the actual challenge rather than burn it looking for the toe? Because she's out there for a while,
40 minutes, they say.
All the way over the island again and again and backtracking, looking all over, climbing up, looking for this thing. And I think you can make an argument that maybe just save that up, save those calories, save that energy for the thing.
Yeah, that's, I never really thought about that because I think it was all the same day too. Like that was the morning, was this whole, that was basically the game within the game, which they,
it's in the game,
just got rid of.
Just the game now.
I mean, once we cracked it, you know, I mean, they were like, well, we got to take it out for season 42. I guess everybody playing along. But yeah, we also had, really three people not being able to decipher the word sleeping, I guess. Marianne appeared to know, but like made a decision to like,
I ain't saying.
I'm not saying, I'll give it to Lindsay.
Well, yeah, she was like, well, I was sandbagging it. You didn't really have to sandbag it that hard with this group.
Yeah.
This is, again, I think the worst puzzle group once Jenny went out early, right?
Yeah, like
there was not a lot of puzzle talent left on the island. I'll never forget Mike saying, was it Mike? Who was it that was like, I see nine triangles?
Oh
really?
That's what
you
got?
Jonathan, Jonathan. I got nine.
Yeah.
That's it. We're done.
Yeah.
Right? Nine? No? It was just like,
in the
folks,
50s.
It was never going to be a good puzzle group.
Yeah. Good fortune is tucked in the toes of the sleeping giant.
I've always said that.
Yes.
It's the first place to look.
And she finally found it. And it was a pretty good advantage by all accounts, right? It was only one knot on all these bags where everybody else had
six.
Yeah, they said.
But Jonathan was like, does he have a secret for untying knots? He untied his six knots as fast as Lindsay untied her one knot.
I mean,
that was amazing.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what he was doing.
What was he doing?
After a while, it felt like, whoa, Jonathan's on the move already? Like, how?
Yeah, that's true. We didn't see a lot of the untying of bags. It was just the crossing of all the obstacles.
Yeah, we want to see those bags get untied. Guess, the exciting stuff.
Yeah, I guess Lindsay took a fall at one point on that one little bridge there where he was like, well, you know, amazing callback. Did you catch this? The one where they had to walk across on like those little pads. He did the monkey walk.
Oh, he did.
That he had showed us on the island.
Oh, yeah.
What a callback. I was like, that's why they put the monkey walk in.
We got to see that monkey walk.
This guy just killed it across that one obstacle doing the monkey walk.
My two takeaways from this challenge. I love a station challenge as well. I thought it was very funny that they were excited for it. The part where they have like the rope pit right before.
Yep.
that looks awesome.
Where you to get run to and bounce jump. On
yeah,
it.
That
yeah.
looks like it would yeah. be super
I'm always
cool.
thinking they're going to eat it, too. Like
totally. Yeah. Nobody ever falls there.
Yeah,
they just bop right up to the pedestal. It's very cool. And then I also wrote down all of the obstacles they had to go through. So yep. I want you to tell me what you think is going to be the toughest. You got the slack line with the rope on the top, just yep. rope on bottom, rope on top. That one we saw Jonathan go sideways on yeah. like so yeah. fast, man. Yeah. He flew across. Yeah. We have, I call this one lily pads on ropes.
Yeah, the one, yep. I'm saying.
Board yeah. on ropes crawling where yep. you have to keep adding it. That's where Lindsay dropped one, yep. had to hop
yep.
off, right?
Yep.
Swinging boards that are just like swings to each other.
Yep.
You had that pull cart one,
yep.
and then you had the bridge with the side ropes on
right,
the side.
Right.
Which do you think would be the easiest, and Ooh. Which do you think would be the toughest?
Okay, Jason, you go first. What do you think is the easiest?
Anything,
and the
listen, as a smaller guy, anything where I'm having to reach up like this, I feel like I'm not going to do great on.
Right,
tough
right.
So, yeah, that was going to be tough for me, I think.
Okay, well, what would have been the easiest one in your mind? Is it just
Probably
the little...
pads.
Oh, the knee
yeah,
pads.
Like,
interesting.
Lily pads are the... actually, yes, you're right. The pulling one.
yeah. Just get just on and pull yourself across.
You just get on and you just pull.
Yeah. JD, what about you? Same question.
Yeah, for me, it's the planks where Lindsay dropped.
Oh, those look hard.
That looked legit hard. And just having to reach back and then maneuver it back over, I yeah. definitely... That would have taken me the longest, for sure. But... I love these challenges.
Yeah, they're cool.
And it's really hard to tell who's in. If you don't have Jeff saying,
yeah.
you know, oh, Jonathan's in the lead, he's killing it, or Lindsay's close behind, you have no idea until they get to the puzzle part, right? Like, and that's fine. That's fine. But it's exciting to watch on television.
Yeah, one small note from that challenge, I always thought it was funny when Probst kept telling them when they got across that one where you had to use the two planks, throw your planks off. Don't leave them there.
Yeah. Get them out of the way.
It just like made me laugh. He had to say it like three times. Because I was like thinking, if I'm in the middle of this, I'm obviously trying to win this. I'm probably forgetting. Like, I'm sure. across. I got right. my bag.
Oh,
See
yeah,
you later.
Yeah.
But they all very kindly turn around, take it off. Like, is somebody screaming at them? Is Probst reminding them there? And they take it, you know, they edit out the audio.
Yeah.
I don't know. That made me
He
laugh.
Definitely had one where he was like, bag's got to go on the nail. I like him giving me instructions.
Sorry, Mr. Jeff. Apologies, Mr.
Oh,
Jeff.
Mr. Jeff.
So I know we don't have you too much longer, Jason, but like, where does this sort of season fall in your rankings of all-time Survivor seasons? And did Marianne winning it bump it higher or lower? Like, where do you put it? Ballpark, I guess.
I'd put it in the probably the bottom of the top third of Survivor seasons.
Okay.
The cast was pretty fun. The winner was surprising. It's a great example, as we've been saying, about how important the jury portion can be at times. I didn't think the gameplay was super, super high level, mm-hmm. but I did like that. Akin to like the more modern kind of like voting blocks era of the game, that people were, for the most part, playing without making it personal.
Yep.
There were a couple of things here and there, you know. Of course, you know, I think Lindsay would have been happy to watch Jonathan walk out into the ocean and drown. but for the most part, people were just playing and competing, which I always like. And then, you know, in this era, post-Survivor 40 era of more intentional and thoughtful diversity and letting people tell their stories, I think that's really meaningful and a great thing just to have in the culture.
Yeah. Did you enjoy 42 more than 41, equally, less? I mean, we weren't podcasting every day with you, but...
Yeah, gosh. I think I liked it. I'd put it about on the same level.
Okay.
I need to let it marinate. They happened so recently. I think probably the gameplay and the edit for 42 is better. I'm still a little bit like... You can give us a little bit more Erica in 41.
Yeah, right.
Figure out a way to get that in there and show us how she won. So I'd probably lean 42.
What did you think about, I'm sure you know this by now, but the edit not showing us the idol nullifier that Omer had?
I guess it just ended up not mattering.
I guess not.
Right?
Yeah.
Simply put, I was definitely surprised by that reveal that existed and that he had it. And I think it's, you know, it's a good example of of how hard it is really to edit this show, because you're thinking about how do we tell the story, how do we also entertain, and then does it matter? Does it matter for the game? And obviously not ideal that something like that didn't matter, but ultimately it didn't matter.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's so funny. It's like not the actual thing itself, the idol nullifier, didn't matter, but by all accounts, it was Omer and Jonathan finding it. So, there, of course, there is a bond then between those two. And it's like, that's the element that you're removing from the game, or at least from the show. But
I mean, I talked about this last week, but I just didn't like that it wasn't included, because ultimately it was the main cause, not the main cause, but it was definitely a factor in Omer going home.
Right.
And it would have been nice to have it. But, you know, the point is well taken, Jason, that... ultimately, it didn't matter, but it just felt like, you know, I thought that Omer, it was just hard to watch him just sort of not do anything and be so, that whole part of it would have made a little bit more dramatic, but also it would have taken away from Marianne's big move in taking him out. So story-wise, I get it, but I still would have liked to have seen it happened.
And for all the twists that we saw in 41 and basically saw again in 42, I know we talked about this last season with you, Jason, but like, which one are you ready to say goodbye to? You hope we never see again. Is it the shillelagh of time? Is it the do or die twist? Is it the amulets or the weird phrases? What do you think?
I think it's the shot in the dark. I think we need to figure out a way to make that. It's basically there to act as a disincentivizer, right? But I'd love for there to be a way to, like, whether it's tweaking the percentages or something, to make it a little bit more active. It feels like a thing that people are worried about that we never see. It never enters the stage.
Right.
And certainly has never hit in the few times that it's been played.
Right.
And then I do think the Shillelagh of Time is a little... It's a little too powerful for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd love for them to tweak that a little bit as well.
And what about you guys? Which one, like, again, if you can only get rid of one, and I know Propes likes a lot of these, and I think they might be there for 43 and 44. I mean, they're already filming 43 right now, but which one would you say, get out of here, we don't need that?
Do or die.
Yeah,
I think is going to die, because it just is going to make less and less sense for players to play, unless there's something they can actually win by taking part in this, right? You're just setting yourself up to maybe go home for choosing the wrong box.
Yeah, JD's do or die.
100%.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's got to be that one, because we lucked out. The contestants lucked out at 41 and 42. They both won and were able to stay, but to see either Deshaun or Lindsay go out like that would have just been awful, like just awful. I mean, I know that Lindsay said in the reunion, oh yeah, I'm cool with it. I would have been fine if I lost.
Yeah, right.
She was less fine with the fact that she gambled, which is an odd thing for her to say, being so competitive. Like, I felt like she was compelled to take the risk, even though she didn't quite know what the risk was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if she had gone out, I don't think she would be, oh yeah, totally fine.
No.
1-3 shot, yeah. Yeah, whatever. See ya.
Roll of the dice. No, it's silly. It's a completely different show at that point.
Totally.
It's not Survivor. And Jason, who do you want to see back from this
cast?
Oh,
wow. I love this question.
Yeah. Who do you want to see?
I absolutely love this question. I'd love to see, you know what? Gosh. Jenny as the puzzle brains.
Okay.
I thought we didn't get nearly enough of her. Omer as the schemer, I think, could be fun again. And, gosh, you know, the way Drea went out when she was eliminated, that boisterousness, that energy, I'm like, man, was it the edit? What was it? Where was that energy the entire time you were on the island?
Right, yeah.
So I think giving her another chance to really show what her personality is would be fun. And then High, I think, is one of the smartest people to play recently.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be great to see again.
And you know Jonathan's going to be back.
Oh yeah.
Brooks has already put that in pen.
He's
already booking an appearance for the spinoff show, Challenge USA. Guaranteed he'll be on that.
Yeah, good point.
He's the James of our generation.
Yes, that's totally true. Okay, well, it's been a blast to catch up with you, Jason. I'm glad you're feeling better. Congrats again on the movie with Shea Serrano. That is... That's phenomenal. You're also working, correct me if I'm wrong, are you also working on another show too, or is it just
we have a show that does not have a title right now.
Okay.
It's technically called Untitled Che Serrano Project, which is being shot right now in Albuquerque with executive produced by Mike Schur of The Office and Parks and Rec fame.
Yeah.
And they're shooting out right now, and the cast is so funny, and we can't wait for you to see
it. And so you're a writer on this show as well.
I am a writer on that show.
Look at you.
That will be on the Freevee TV network. We are part of the Freevee family, along with Bosch Legacy and Judge Judith Scheinland, who have welcomed us with open
arms. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. All right. I guess we'll watch it too. I guess we'll do a podcast on it. All right. Jason, man, thank you so much. Great to catch up with you. And, we'll obviously be talking to you, hopefully, or catching up at some point in the summer. Are you going to Summer League at all? Is that happening?
That would be great. We'll see. I would love to. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Jason Concepcion, thank you so much. Follow him on Twitter. Network. Take care, man. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, Tree Mail. So don't go anywhere.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, back here on No Buffs, breaking down the final episode of Survivor 42 and the after show. Last night, which I'm sure we'll have some thoughts on still. The live tribe commenting away. A lot of talk about Mike and what was going on with the jury. Though I love this comment here from Steven. The best thing about Survivor is that there's not a proven way to win. The game changes drastically depending on the cast and crucially the jury in terms of what's a winning game. Is that Jeff Probst? That's very Probst-like, Steven.
That is Probst-like.
That's a great great note. And speaking of great comments and questions, let's get to some tree mail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that.
Hold on. Here we go. Oops.
I don't know why we have to do that, but we do. You made
it's
it,
fun.
So we have to show it.
Yeah. I don't know why I always forget.
Even though I feel like you don't want to.
I know. I
just
always
want
to.
Okay.
Well, I also have a different setup because we had Jason on.
Oh, okay. It's fine. It was well worth it to have him on. for you to have a different setup.
Right? I agree.
Fantastic. All right, first one here from Sagasaurus Flex.
Tass?
Yeah, Mrs. Saga.
Is that you, Tassie?
Is it safe to say that the era of the challenge beast is over? Players like Danny in Season 41 and Jonathan here in Season 42, they've been fun to watch, but players do not seem to be threatened by their game, and jury members prefer to reward stronger social and strategic play. What do you think, Mr. Flex?
Mr. Kirby.
Thank you, Mr. Flex and Mr. Kirby. What do you think?
Well, I think this is that meme of the astronauts looking at the Earth. It's always been that way.
Yes.
Challenge beasts usually don't win in Survivor. There have been a couple, but in general, I do feel like the reason challenge beasts don't win has changed. Before, it was kind of like when Ozzy was winning, it was like, okay, he finally lost. Get him out of here. Now they don't care as much. It's like Jonathan didn't really have a chance to win last night because he didn't have a great social game and most of the women hated him. So the only way to win, I think, as a challenge beast is to win out as many as you possibly can. And when you don't win, you have to have a flashy move. That's how Ben won his season, having idols anytime he got voted out. So if you're able to do the flashy part of it, that's giving you a little strategy on alongside your physical prowess.
JD, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that I don't think the age of the challenge beast is over by any means. I think that everything that Trey just said, plus the fact that if you're a Mike and you want to play the game honorably, you got to come in as a challenge beast, and that's your only recourse, really. I mean, win all the immunities and don't lie to anybody, and that's how you get to the end, really. I mean, but yeah, I mean, and also they're always going to cast people who are good in challenges, I think. I mean, you know, look at the big boner that Jeff had for Jonathan. And also, you know, Lindsay, she was compelled to compete. Like, she could not help herself. Jason was talking about her running around for 40 minutes looking for this advantage. Would she have been better off saving the calories? Yes, I think so. But she just can't help herself. Yeah. Like, she just wants to win. And she was way more focused, I've said it a million times, on beating Jonathan than she was in winning the game of Survivor. But that's okay, because it was awesome to watch her, and you know, it would be great to have her back.
Yeah, people are saying here in the live tribe, we've had Culpepper win a ton of individual immunities lost. Chrissy, same thing. I mean, this is just like, it also, with the way these challenges are now down the stretch, they're all ending generally in a puzzle.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter. Like, it was beneficial to keep him around. Almost in a weird way, because he's not going to win these puzzles at the end. He's just not great at it. You know, he can't be perfect at everything. He dominated the pre-merge, which is, that's when I think you see, like, you have one or two challenge beasts, like physical players, and oh my God, you're hopefully not going to a lot of tribal councils because you're going to win. But into this individual stage, I think it's like the most overrated thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's also an easy thing for all the other players that are normal looking people and maybe not amazing athletes to be like, they can all like go, wow, look at that athlete. We should get rid of him. It's just like gives you some reason to be like, focus on a person to go before you. But it actually doesn't really exist, I don't think, in today's Survivor all that much. And also what you guys said, even if you got all the way to the end, nowadays it's like your resume is like, I won 5 individual immunities. And the other resume is like, I got out the biggest strategic player over there, or I did this move. They're going to almost always lean towards that. So.
Yeah, but I think it depends on the cast as well, though. Just to, you know, there are people who would, if we had a bunch of Aussies on the same, know, they would be respect the challenge beast.
But we're not playing the challenge. That's
the
thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, but remember, Jonathan carried his tribe pre-merge, like, literally carried.
Yes.
You know, so it's good to have a guy like that on your team.
Yeah, maybe.
Gonna win
how many things did he win, though, is my point. He won twice, and the one time he won against one other person.
Right.
Oh,
so he did not kick
portion.
Ass. Like, he's
no.
Just because he looks like
it. I would argue that he won every single one of the team challenges, though.
Yeah, I mean, he was instrumental in a lot of those, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. What were you going to say? Sorry. I was going to say something about him winning twice,
I was. Yeah. Oh, how about this? It's maybe become more hospitable for challenge beasts in the first part of the game, because I do feel like that was a common vote out strategy early on. We're like, we got to get this big guy out.
Yeah.
Now they're like, we got to keep him. There is a lot of let's keep the tribe strong, because having a challenge beast in the first portion of the game is a lot more helpful than in the second portion of the game. So you just got to be able to flip that switch once it goes in the individual game. And I don't know, you got to be a puzzle beast. Somebody should brand themselves as a puzzle beast, but then they'll get voted out.
Well, that's why I actually, and I've said this before on No Buffs, it's like, I actually thought Lindsay was more of a challenge beast than Jonathan, in the sense that she's incredibly physical. Okay, no one's ever going to be as physical as him, but like, she's damn good. And then she also seems a lot better at that, at puzzles and stuff like that. So
yeah.
All right, next one here from Jaden. If you could choose one food other than pizza for the surprise reunion, what would it be? And this would be a perfect time to talk about the after show here too. Mm. But to answer Jaden's question, Probst is saying, all right, let's bring in some pizza. Let's bring in some champagne. And then what, Trey? Are you like, yes.
Chicken wings with a variety of sauces.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God. It's already messy with people walking in here.
Yeah, you're going to be filthy anyways. But I was trying to think of, what's a food I could eat a ton of and not feel absolutely terrible at the end of it? So if I'm just eating straight up chicken wings, I think I'll survive more than putting in like, because like Mike said, he ate three pizzas last night. He said they were also all pineapple pizzas. That's just a lot of bread to be putting in. You're going to fill up. Yeah. You're going to feel very backed up, if you will. You might get a little grease bomb in your belly from some chicken wings, but I would risk it.
Okay. Yeah. So in theory, he ate a ton on day 26. They had breakfast.
Right.
Where it looked like he ate a ton. Marianne was like, I think I'm full. And he's like, we got pancakes still.
Don't stop eating. We got to finish these pancakes.
And then he had that, the pizzas at the end. I mean, he just had a lot there on that final day. But what are you picking, JD?
I'm picking sushi.
Oh, that's a good one.
Really good answer.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just easy. You could just pluck it up with your fingers. It's fish. It's semi-healthy, you know. And you're not going to feel gross. You can eat a lot of sushi and not feel like you're the same that you feel after three pizzas.
That's a good call.
Another option, Australian meat pies. They're delicious.
Yeah,
you can eat them with your hands. And you know, it's just a savory treat after 26 days of not eating.
Yes.
So, and it goes great with beer. Oh my God. Like a nice ice cold beer. Forget the champagne. I mean, the champagne, sure, for the toast or whatever, but you know, let's get the Victoria Bitter in here and a nice Australian meat pie. Shout out to Lee Ellis. Put some brown sauce on that maybe and just shove it in your
face. That's a great answer. Both of those, the sushi and that. But then if you didn't have champagne, you wanted the beer, we would miss that one shot of that guy.
Oh, I love
the scimitar.
Guy.
Yes. Wow, that guy just is like, this is my 3 seconds of fame. I'm going to pull
Jeff,
this up.
If you put me on there, I will pop that bottle for you. You worry.
What did you think of the after show here? Our second one on location. Any thoughts on it? Are you a fan of it? And it sounds like this is also staying. This is what Probst is leaning towards. What do you think?
I don't know.
It was boring.
This one was boring.
Very boring.
Yeah. To me, it's like the last half hour is inessential until you get to seeing what it's going to look like for the next season of Survivor. I don't know if I like it more or less.
Because the truth
right
is
there.
The
I like the reaction for sure.
Yeah.
Where Jonathan's like, "They gonna read it here?" I'm like,
"Oh yeah, that was funny."
Oh, you're joking. Oh, you are gonna read it here. That was exciting, but obviously that's not gonna be the case anymore because they're gonna be expecting it. But I don't know. It feels like doing it right after the show ends, reading the votes there. You should get a little bit more raw takes from the contestants, but they also aren't getting a chance to like see how the season actually transpired.
Yeah.
They're still just in their own blinders. So I don't know.
Yeah. What do you think?
I agree. I think it was, I do like that they reveal the winner right then and there because just, there's so much build up to it. It's a 3 hour show for them. Even like, it's just a more visceral reaction, I think. You know, and they're still on the set of the game show that they've won. So let's let them win. I think they should have all that, do 5 minutes, of, you know, basking in the afterglow. Bring out the champagne. Let's hold off on the sushi and pizza for now, right? Until we're off the air. And then the next week, do like a Real Housewives or The Bachelor style of reunion show, right?
It's amazing they don't do this.
It's a no-brainer, and it doesn't even have to be live. Like, just shoot it for 3 hours and then cut out all the good stuff. Because that's what we're missing. We're missing. I like to see them a year later when they put the weight back on and they're, you know, all dolled up and all gussied up and stuff. And they've had a chance to react to how the audiences reacted to them. And mm-hmm. then, you know, we were discussing before the show started about, you know, Mike finding out that Omar, it was a great lie. And he's like telling him Hai was treating him like a puppet when really it was Omar. Like, yeah. I want to know how Mike feels about that and just like all of that stuff. And you know, apparently Marianne has a boyfriend now. Hey, let's get a shot of him in the audience. I mean, that'd be great. Like, I don't know that. I think that would be a better experience as a viewer, but I understand that they did it this way for COVID and stuff. And
yeah.
as you say, Jeff says it's here to stay. You know, the good thing about it from their point of view is that it's done. It's out of the way. They don't have to worry
yeah,
about
totally.
It. And they can edit it and make it look good. And, you know, who knows how long that actually was. So
yeah, I'm with you, though. If you're going to continue with this, you're going to read the votes on the island. That's fine. Then shorten it up. Give us like, let's take a break, come back and talk about it for whatever, 10 minutes, the key points. And mm-hmm. then you wrap up the show. And then a week or two later, and I think Rob Cesternino has said this too. Yeah. Why isn't there like a Bravo like show where Probst, I mean, God, wouldn't he love this to be
oh my
the
goodness.
Andy?
How have they not done this?
How have
man?
They not done it?
They do 3 1-hour shows of reunions for a Housewives.
And they're bigger than any of the episodes. Yeah. That's the crazy part.
Reunions are lit,
yeah,
buddy. I love this idea now, JD. We got to. Sorry to Jeff, but I think Andy Cohen needs the host.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I
stirs
agree.
It up.
I mean, no offense to Probst, Mr. Jeff,
yeah.
but it might be good to get somebody else, a different perspective.
We've done that before, if you remember. Rosie O'Donnell once hosted one of these after shows, and Brian Gumbel, I think, once hosted one. We're talking
really?
Way
yeah,
back.
Yeah, that's way, way,
yeah,
way
that
way
was
back.
A bad idea. It didn't go.
Andy Cohen would be
right,
great.
Andy Cohen would be best.
Andy Cohen.
Oh, we'll do it. Let no buffs do it. Let Jason Concepcion do it. For
oh, yeah.
Loud. He'd be great at it.
Yeah, it should be you, Skeets. You should.
Okay, good. All right, Probst, I'll do it. I love that. I love that idea, though. And yeah, I mean, I'm with you also on the, like, hold off on the food out there. Like, what, like, he also, like, Probst throws to breaks. He's like, all right, we're going to take a break. And yeah. when we come back, we'll talk about so-and-so.
Yeah.
Omar will decide which animal all of you are.
Right.
Eat the pizza during the break. I
no,
that part
need
is
to see them
fascinating
eating the pizza.
Decision, but. okay, next one, Zachary A. Oh, I got in another one. You did it, Zach. Good stuff.
Way to go, Zach.
Now that we are 8 seasons into the final 4 fire-making twist, which position is the most advantageous? He doesn't mean the blue flag or the orange flag, though there was a lot of debate about that, I remember, back in the day, right? 4 winners won fire, 3 winners were taken to the final 3, and 2 winners won the final 4 immunity. Chris won immunity and the fire in his season there. So, you know, it's pretty somewhat evenly
seems
spread
fair,
out
yeah.
here. But what would it, I mean, what are your thoughts on the fire-making twist? I mean, it looks like that's staying as well. And what is the move? I know it's sort of all dependent on who's playing and your,
yeah,
your
that's the thing to yeah. me. 100% depends on your standing in the game, because if you're losing, you've got a chance to pull a Chris, right? And like say, I'm going in the fire here.
Yeah.
I'm going to win my way to final tribal council. This is going to be a cool, flashy move for me. If you're winning the game, you take the 2 people who are doing the best that might be able to beat you. So duke it out.
Yeah.
I'm only going against one of you.
Yeah.
So it really depends on what you're doing. And that's why we see a pretty fair distribution, I think. 4, 3, and 2. Obviously, I would want to win the final 4 immunity. I would rather have all choices, right?
Yes.
Because if you win that final 4 immunity, you can just play it straight. You're taking one person with you. I'm putting the 2 biggest threats in there. Duke it out. Or you can say, I need a move here.
Yeah.
I need one more flashy move. I'm going in fire Chris style, winning it, and then winning the final tribal council. So I do like it, and I do like that it's sticking around, because you have one more big decision to make.
Yeah. And, I mean, for 2 people making fire, it's incredibly entertaining.
It is.
I can't believe I really have. I mean, there's been the odd dud and stuff like that, but for the most part, they edit it together where you're like, whoa, like you were saying,
yep.
Probst saying, oh,
you see like
might be
a
running
little
out
bit of
stuff.
Embers on the rope. You're like, oh, you're
yeah.
getting close, but maybe not.
Yeah. So JD, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly the same as
okay.
Trey. I mean, and I can't imagine not putting myself in the fire making. I would never feel safe enough. I would never trust the jury that much. I would just lay it all out. I'm making fire. I don't care.
Really?
Like, yeah. I would.
Wow. That feels easy to say. Yeah, I mean.
You good with
no,
the
No, I don't even know, but it's for $1 million, right? So it's just a...
Yeah, it's $4 million. You're saying I'm going to go in the fire instead of at least sitting there to make my case for $1 million.
But I wouldn't be able to just sit there and let two people be impressive. Do you know what I mean? When it's a chance for me to shine, it's also a chance for me to fall flat on my face. But again, I don't feel like I would be putting everything on the table unless I put myself in fire.
Yeah, but I think as this continues, we see the fire-making Final Four, I think it becomes less and less impressive in a way. Like, I don't think it's as big a deal as it maybe was when it was first on the scene, the first couple of seasons. Like, so what? You made a fucking fire. Like, you know, I just kicked your ass in all the other aspects of this game, right? I'm just, like, trying to put myself in a position where, like, no, I'm not getting my, you know, you talk about the do or die twist sucking. Well, I'm just going to come down to weather and I can make a fire faster than you. Like, I mean, right now, it's still a big deal, a big move, if you want to call it that, but I don't know if that's going to stay that way.
It's the act itself to put myself on the line. I'm that confident. I'm that...
Yeah, I guess.
You know. Because if you're going to lose anyway, like, I would much rather be Jonathan if I'm losing, regardless. I'd much rather be Jonathan not voted out. I lost because of fire.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's a good point. And we've seen some big, you know, popular players, people that may have won the game, not Jonathan, but other players that go out at the four. And it's like, damn, I wasn't voted out, but I was forced out because I can't make fire. Yeah.
And on the spectrum between Marianne and Romeo, I'm much closer to Romeo. Like, I'm going to be at the bottom most of the time.
So you're saying, you're putting yourself in that position.
Well,
you're playing this hypothetical season out that you are going to be looked at maybe more as a goat, so you'll need that. Okay, that's fair.
You're so old, and it's, we're so impressed that you're able to carry on a conversation with us, sir. Great.
Do you think? Well, you're not his age. Not quite. Not quite. But you know, they are like talking about how cool Mike is.
Yeah.
With the kid, you're 10 times cooler than Mike.
Oh, thank you.
You really are. So you really should get on Survivor.
I can really rap with the kids, man.
You are.
Hey, gang.
I don't know, Mike, but I
guys
want to
make a shelter?
Hey, with the fire making challenge, can you do this? All right, I thought about this because I already gave
light your beard on fire.
No, yes, no,
you
can
do it, man. They never said you couldn't.
Yeah, you're right. You can do the beard. Okay, and I already gave my tip. I think you should be practicing on a pedestal or something that's going to be more similar to the actual challenge. You know what you're going to be doing. You're going to be sitting. Can I take the coconut husk, some of it? It's very stringy, right?
Yeah, like, it looks like you could separate it.
Can I take my then longer sticks of wood? Can I make a teepee real quick?
Interesting.
All right. Whip together a quick teepee. Like, obviously, you're not putting a lot of time and effort into it, but I think if you wrap the corn husk around, like it's string, got like
tie the top
three,
together,
four, five,
kinda.
Yeah, sure. You get a little teepee going. And then obviously get to work and start your fire, but then to have that to place on top.
Oh, for sure. I think you could. I think that they, as long as you're not like taking your fire and reaching it up.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they would be fine with that.
Yeah.
If you kind of pre-planned how your structure was going to work. Yeah. It would work.
It would.
But you would be like so nervous. Yeah. You're there just fiddling with wood and you're seeing the other person.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Getting a little fire going.
But it's like, cool. I mean, even Mike, I guess his whole plan was, I'm just going to chuck everything on here.
Yeah.
And it worked. It did work. But he said
in his exit interview, he's like, I knew it was pine. And Jonathan seemed to be a little taken aback because he had been practicing, obviously, with slightly wet sticks back at camp. And he couldn't get his fire going as good. But he's like, I know pine burns, so I just threw as much on there as I possibly could.
Oh, well, he's a fireman. He knew that little trick there.
Fire brain.
Wow.
Yep.
Good stuff. Okay. We got a lot of thoughts.
Study
on
your woods before you go.
Yeah, Jesus. I guess so. Yeah, that would impress Roxroy, wouldn't it?
Oh, 100%. When Marianne mentioned that she was intentionally scaling those fish, he was like, damn.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
That was a weird part of the Final Tribal Council, that the physical questioning part. I always took the physical part to be more about the challenge aspect of the game, but they really leaned into the physical part more as the island life, right? Because Marianne was saying sure. palm fronds and the scaling of the fish yeah. and Mike was building the shelter, and then Romeo was, his was more, you know, I don't camp at all, but I learned how to swim, which is pretty crazy.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Got a couple more here. Why not? This is our final episode of the season. Doug. Oh, Doug. This is a battle between Zach and Doug. Go back to the final two. Who gets the win here? Actually, Doug and Zach in a fire-making contest. Let's do that on next week's No Buffs.
Okay. send in a video of yourself making a fire. You don't know how fast the other guy's going to make it.
Yeah. It's
right. But I will say, I'm giving points to Zach here. He's in the live tribe right now.
Oh, yeah. Where you at, Doug? Show your face.
Come on, Doug.
Okay, Doug wrote in, though, or he tweeted in, if you could bring back one element from old finale episodes, what would it be? For example, solo jury speeches. Mm-hmm. Okay, I would add to that. He didn't add it. The what would you call it? Like the intro from the final
opening
three.
Statement,
opening
kind
statement.
Of?
Thank you. That's what
yeah.
they got rid of that apparently. Okay, back to Doug. Final endurance challenges. Final two instead of a final three. Going way mm-hmm. back, or even the old rites of passage.
Ooh,
where we go and remember everyone.
That's a no for me, Doug.
Okay, not a fan of that. But Doug wants to know, what are you bringing back?
That's a passage. That was the weirdest thing. They're like, I never met you, but you were out here for 3 days.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're all out here.
Okay, well, which one do you want to see back then? Or something else that Doug didn't mention?
I do love a final endurance challenge. Like,
so do I.
Actually,
yeah, so do I.
Mike dropping the ball in some motion to me was very similar to Rudy, season one, taking his hand off the idol in Hands on a Hard
yeah.
Idol.
Yep.
Just in the midst of, like, changing yep. positions. That was cool. I would love to see them bring it back. And I think I would be okay with a final two as a twist.
Yep.
Like, if we didn't know
yep.
about it ahead of time, I think the final three is probably a little better, all things considered, because, you know, there's usually going to be one person who's not going to win. And maybe that's the case with most final twos, but I think if they were going into the season expecting it to be a final three, Jeff hit them with a, we're actually going to a final two this time,
that would
be major.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
JD?
I want to see the jury liquored up a little more. You know what I mean? A little
testy.
I want some scenes. I find this to be the cringiest part of the season in general. The cross examinations and the groveling, right? There's a lot of that, and you know, I felt like I was very squirmy when Romeo was kind of squirming when High was confronting him. What about when you threw my name out there and all that stuff? But I just amp it up even more, you know. We mentioned Andy Cohen earlier. Bring that Andy Cohen bar right on to Tribal Council.
Do a Shotsky.
And just let's, you know, because yeah, you know, it just makes for a more entertaining. And if we're gonna cringe, we might as well cringe. And let's get messy.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. What'd you think about when, I think it was Omer questioning Mike about his integrity, right? He kicked off that. We knew that was coming, and he got into it. And then Mike was starting to get dragged for not owning it. Like, everybody started piling on. And then you have, I think it was Drea.
It was Drea.
Stuck up for him, like, sort of stepped in.
Yeah.
I do like the self-policing that goes on. And, like,
Drea was great to have on the jury from a, like, she was alley-ooping for Marianne. She was alley-ooping for Mike, I thought. It was, like, nice to have her there to, like, kind of guide them down the path of the answers that they were looking for.
Yeah, okay, but final two. You liked a little twist there, and you want them more liquored up.
Yeah, more liquored up.
JD's answer to this.
And Jeff, too. Have a few pops, Jeff. Come on.
Oh, wow. I don't know.
Let's get messy.
He's talking about having a mullet during
I know.
The reunion show last
Thought
night.
I realized his hair was exactly Lee Ellis's hair. Yeah, I should have grabbed a screen grab of it and split-screened
Very
it.
Very similar.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
One thing they did bring back, though, was the juries talking about the final contestants before they actually went to final tribal council.
Love that.
Which was very cool because it kind of gives you like a preview of the questions you're going to hear, and you actually get a little bit of a sense of how they're feeling about them heading into final tribal council. That was a nice touch, I thought.
Yeah,
for sure.
And especially because in years prior, that would have just been the contestants saying, well, I made it all the way to the end.
Yes.
I've done what I can do. Mm-hmm. I really grew as a player. It's like, okay, they all say the sort of the same thing, but they were like editing alongside the jury saying what I want to hear tonight, or here's what I sort of think of this person, or here's where they may be. I love that. I agree. So keep that. Final one here, Tremail. Josh, I recently learned Jeff Probst is the stepdad to Mark Paul Gosselaar. Am I saying that correctly? Mark Paul Gosselaar's children. Hold on. His name's Zach Morris.
Zach Morris. Okay?
Which made me picture Zach Morris out on the island. My question is, which 90s star would be the best Survivor contestant, or which 90s TV character would be the best Survivor cast member? So just so everybody has that clear, Jeff Probst is apparently the stepdad to Zach Morris's, Mark Paul Gosselaar's.
Now forgive me. Children. Who is Zach Morris?
Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Never seen a single episode.
You don't know who Zach Morris is?
I do not.
Wow. I take back everything I said about you getting along with the kids out there. Are you serious?
Never seen an episode.
That's, do you know Screeches?
I've heard of Screech. I've heard of Screech.
I've heard of Screech.
I've heard of Saved by the Bell, okay. But I have never seen a single episode.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's surprising.
It's a blind spot for me, for sure.
Hey, look, if
I ever go on Survivor, I'll marathon all of Saved by the Bell.
I hope it doesn't come up.
Yeah, you better hope Jesse Soprano is not out there. Okay, well, but the question is a fun one. Yeah, 90s star or 90s TV character that you'd like to see out on the island.
Steve Urkel.
Yeah, that's a very popular answer.
Steve Urkel would be great. He plays the annoying nerd during the first team-based portion of the challenges, but then he switches to Stefan Urkel when it comes to the individual.
Or he does that at the final tribal council.
Oh.
Because that's what we've always wanted.
Right, yeah, yes.
Plays the dork, he's always dropping things, never wins anything, and then at the end turns into Stefan.
Oh, Urkel, man. He's like, I would just love to hear Steve anytime he masterminds a blindside. Did I do that?
It's good, man.
You wrote "Did I do that" on a note at my house like months ago, and it's still on the fridge.
Why did I write that on a note?
I don't know. I don't know. The girls were wearing glasses, you know. They were looking like Steve Urkel. Don't worry, JD. The kids don't know who Steve Urkel is, so you don't need to catch
up. That's true. I dropped that reference.
Did I do that?
Okay. What do you got then, JD? Do you know any shows from the 90s?
Some, yeah.
Okay.
So is it the character or the actor,
or either matter, or
your call.
Yeah, either or.
Okay. The character I would like to see is Frasier.
Cool.
Just because I think that he would have a Cochrane-esque journey. You know, he would get on the island, super stiff. He'd have a cardigan wrapped around.
He'd have a great outfit.
And then he would, you know, fall into the depths of despair, horribly sunburned. You know, not just fumbling around and just being useless. But then I think he would rise to the occasion.
The gift of gab, for sure.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think Frasier would be good. The other one was Xena, I'd like to see out there. You know, forged in the heat of battle, Xena, warrior princess. She would do well. Another one, this is a deep cut. Matthew Fox from Party of Five. Not from Lost.
Oh,
wow. So Charlie Salinger's
back on the island
with his character, but he's easy to picture on the island because it's Matthew Fox. But the character would be Charlie Salinger. So would it be? He'd be very moody for sure.
Yeah.
Jack always wanted to go back to the island, so at least Matthew Fox would get a good chance to be back on the island again. And I think that's what happens with Survivor players. All they want to do is get back.
They gotta go back.
I see Rick Devins and everybody on Twitter, and it's just like, oh, these poor bastards. Like, I'm enjoying this, and I would love to try it, but these guys, all they want to do is go back.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like that anyways. It's just, I would do anything to go back to that island.
We gotta go back. Hence the monster, I guess.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Jonathan was like, he got voted out, and in his confessional, he's like, invite me back. I'm coming back. I might not even leave.
He probably won't.
Got enough toggle shirts.
Yeah.
What about his outfit? It's like he didn't even change coming off the beach.
I just assume he just wears that. day to day now. Like, he's just, it's May 26th. He's walking around Tuscaloosa, Alabama, toggle neck t-shirt on.
Is that what you call it?
It's a toggle.
I don't know.
Those are toggles. Those are toggles.
You said it five times to me today. And I'm like, is that a thing? Like, you know way more about fashion than I do.
Yeah.
Like, is it a toggle necklace or a toggle t-shirt? I don't know.
It looks like a smock to me.
Yeah,
like,
it is, you know smocky. What I mean?
Yeah.
But is it his... Like, Rupert has a tie-dye. He has to wear this now.
Yeah,
like,
it does feel like that way. Yeah. It's a bit of a uniform at this point. Would he have worn it to the old version where we're in L.A. and doing the after show or the live vote read?
Great question.
See, that's what we need to know.
That's what we need to know.
Can you imagine him in a suit, just showing up in a suit? That would be crazy.
It would be
crazy.
I would love to see it. I'd love to see him do the monkey walk in a suit. And rip the hell out of it. All right. Let's take our final break, and when we come back, we will look ahead to Survivor 43. Yes, we've got the promo, and we can, wrap up our thoughts on Survivor 42. Maybe hear from these guys where they rank this season all time. So don't go anywhere.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects. I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, oh my God, so bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles. How's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No.
I
did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/NoDunks.
Okay, let's start wrapping up our final episode of No Bus for Survivor 42. Did you guys have any other thoughts? Oh my God, are you...
No, that's good. That's good.
Oh, this is your move now. One in, one out.
I had to go full in with Jason so I could actually hear him. But here, with us talking, I'm just going... One pure canal.
Oh, okay. Yep. For the listeners, we're talking once again about Trey's earbuds. He had a little issue on this morning's
notebooks. Yeah, I get new canals.
Yeah, you do.
My canals are mis-sized.
Yeah, they are. Do you have any final thoughts on Survivor 42 and where it falls in your rankings and Marianne is a winner and any other notes you had from last night's episode?
What did Jason say? Bottom of the top third? So if that means somewhere in like the 15 to 20... range, I think that's about right. I was liking season 41 more than I liked season 42 until last night. I think it really saved it, getting a unique winner in Marianne, a surprising winner, and some cool gameplay at the end. You don't see like a move made at Tribal Council, the final Tribal Council. So seeing that, I put 42 ahead of 41. Very similar seasons. I mean, the beats were almost the exact same, and you could even argue that the archetypes of the characters that were going out were kind of the same at the same time as well, but I ended up enjoying it, and, I think a very cool winner. I think the winner really saves this season. I think we'll look back and say that Marianne as a winner better than the season as a whole.
Okay. I was a little disappointed last night, JD, that we didn't get a weird moment where Marianne says, I'm the first Canadian to ever win Survivor, and then Probst would have to go, well, actually, we did 41, and a female Canadian won that one as well, so you're actually the second. I would have loved to see a reaction, but instead that never came up.
No.
They don't want to point out that the Canadians are dominating this game.
We're taking over.
Well, there's only one, I think, in the next season. That's what the live tribe is saying. Yes, one Canadian in Survivor 43.
Okay.
So there's still a chance to keep the streak alive, but...
Yeah. I mean, listen, we're good. We're very, very good. We blend in.
Yeah,
well, damn, right?
That's right.
Good point.
It's very we're here. We've been living here for what, 9 years? People never notice. People haven't said anything.
Here in America. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But what did you think, and where do you rank this overall?
Yeah, I'm not even going to bother trying to rank it, because the last season of Survivor I saw was always the best one. Always like, it's recency bias, sure. But I will say that I did enjoy this one more than 41. I enjoyed 41, but I, as you say, Trey, almost beat for beat, it was the same show. Right up to the do or die failing miserably, thankfully. You know, it was basically the same. But it was tighter. They made improvements. They little tweaks here and there that I really appreciated. And I think I love the 41 cast, but 42 cast, I really, really, I was rooting for literally everybody. When Lindsay was on her run, you know, she got the advantage and she did all, you know, she was, it felt like she may win that challenge. I was rooting for Lindsay, and I wasn't really rooting for her before. And then when Mike started killing it on the puzzle, I was like, yes, go Mike. You know, like there was nobody. Yeah. I wasn't really rooting for Romeo, obviously. But all of them, I was just like, great, this is awesome. I mean, Omer, I was definitely rooting for from, you know, the merge, at least. I loved him as a player. So when he left... You know, I was heartbroken, I would say. Just devastated, really. But no, I was thrilled with the winner. Everything you said, Trey, plus she's Canadian, which is just the icing on the cake or whatever. But it was a great season. I hope they go back to 39 days, though.
Well, I don't think that's happening.
Well, that's a mistake.
Why do you want to go back to 39 days? What would be your, like, we have to?
I think that they have more content. I've said this before. I felt like they were scrambling for storylines. And I thought so, yeah. A little bit. And I just think it's a more of an endurance thing, you know? 26 days, I know how hard. It's so hard. Like you said, Mike lost 32 pounds. 39 days, harder.
Yes, yeah, for agree. Sure. You know? Agree.
And it's just, and
you want the suffering still.
I want the suffering, but not as, I want it to be longer, but not as much. Do you know what I mean? Because it's 26 days, they're like, it's going to be 26 days, but no food.
Yeah.
And I don't really love that, because it's just, I don't think, I want people playing, I want them suffering, but not that much. And I think it really affects gameplay. There's a lot of emotion. I know that everybody wants to see everybody cry. When Jeff asked, who out here cried? You know, everybody cried. It was just like, can you imagine Tyson putting up his hand going, yeah, I cried? No, he didn't. It was like,
funny.
You know, it's just, it's too hard, but not hard enough, if that makes sense.
I'm not sure I agree. The 26, it does accelerate their strategic gameplay, and that they're like having to like think quicker on their feet, make decisions, go with it. Oh, I'll deal with the repercussions later. I think, you know, when you have so much more time in between votes,
right,
that can be good, but it can also be bad, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it can get more majority going away because you have more time to figure it out. I don't know. I have really no issues with it 26, because I don't think it's had any effect on the actual product we're seeing.
I definitely haven't felt like, oh my God.
What are they got nothing for this episode. These were all pretty, from front to back, entertaining episodes.
They go back to 39 days. We bring back the loved ones visit, which was sorely missed.
Okay, well, that's because of COVID, but yes.
Right, but are they still going to do a loved ones visit after 26 days or whatever is 20 days? It's like, oh, great, my kids, you know? Like, I'm not missing my kids at 20 days. Right. I'll tell you that right now.
Right.
30 days, yes.
Wow, that's when it hits.
It's around 25, so, you know, those 5 days will be brutal. But it's just, I think it's just more spread out. I think there's more storylines to pick from. I think it just makes for a better product. Like this whole thing of, well, we're down to five. We're going to put you in the middle of the night at a totally different camp. We're just going to strew, all of your shit's going to be strewn all over the place. You know, they came back and there's like shit hanging from the trees and stuff. What's the purpose of that? We as an audience, we didn't see any, it didn't make a difference at all. So why bother with that stuff? It's just a lot of like, oh, it's so much shorter, so let's make it harder. Let's get bring the shillelagh of time in here. You know, there's more pressure to make it, mix it up and make it harder. And it's just, here's how you make it harder. Make it longer. Make it 39 days.
Well,
that's what I think.
This cast was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the, like, from just first boot to the winner. I mean, there are not a lot of duds, not too many duds, where it feels like in some seasons, even 41, I think there were, like, and it was a pretty good overall cast. It was a really good cast.
We had a great pre-merge cast for season 41.
We did. We did. But I think this one was really awesome. I think we went through a lot of the people that I think we will see back. I think there could be 5 or 6 people back. Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to include Marianne in another, you know, winner coming back. Like I'd be shocked if she's not back at some point in some version of this show. So I thought it was good. I think to rank it, you know, always difficult to do. It's not the best, by far from the worst. So it's somewhere, for me, in the middle, and it was helped out by the victory from Marianne last night. I think if Mike wins, I think it's down a couple more spots, but in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
And they're all great seasons, even the worst season of Survivor.
Exactly.
Season 39.
Is, season 39.
Still better than most television. Survivor 43.
Mm-hmm.
We get the promo. What can I tell you about it? There's new people, a brand new cast. It is going to be 26 days.
Oh, for sure. That's confirmed.
Oh, this is
26.
Probst is basically saying we're not going 39, man.
Like, damn it,
I am not being out there for a month.
He's like, that's the other thing.
Did you
see
my hair?
it sounds like they're keeping the shorter production
schedule. Give us another season then.
You want 3 seasons?
Yes, why not? How long we got to wait for this thing?
We're coming in the fall, JD. Okay. I think they are getting very close to wrapping up filming of 43.
Mm.
And then they'll start 44 here soon, and then in the fall we'll see 43.
Okay.
And here's what we know: we got some what appears to be some other great characters. We got a very long beard. Maybe we'll see the final four fire making thing. Put that beard in the fire. We don't know any of their names, right? I don't think we do at this point.
I don't think so.
What else do we know? We know the logo is an octopus.
There's an octopus on it.
That looks cool.
Is cool.
Yeah. So if 42 was unlock your mind. Which I came up with. What is 43 with the octopus? Somebody said in the live tribe, arm yourself.
Ooh.
That's pretty good. So, I was thinking of like an octopus can like slide into small crevices and cracks.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
So, I don't know. I couldn't think of the tagline though. Stay loose. Stay flexible. I guess.
Stay flexible. Inky, something with ink? Is there
maybe
something to do with ink?
Sure.
Stay inky?
What is this, Pac-Man?
Stinky inky?
That's really all we know.
We need to bring back the subtitles.
Oh, you don't like Survivor just straight up 43?
I don't like the 43, 44. I need something to sink my teeth in, something that's going to hook me. Nothing really hooked me. I was like, oh, okay, here we go again. It's the same again, which is fine.
Yep.
But it's just like...
So even if they had called it Survivor 41, Shillelagh of Time.
Yes.
Survivor 42, Do or Die.
Right.
Like, you just want that.
I want that to go, what do they mean by that?
Does that mean ghosts are going to be playing in Do or Die?
We were talking before the show, like, when Blood and Water, Blood versus Water first came out, the promo, there was nothing. There was water, and then there... blood spilling into it. That was the promo.
Cool. It was great.
And it just said, blood survivor, blood versus water.
Oh, you're like, Jesus.
It was just like, what do they mean by that? And we were just
wondering. Surgeons versus lifeguards?
What? And then there's the hook. I mean, and the hooks never last longer than 3 episodes.
Oh, that's
really
the thing. Probst, like, you know, just really always drives at home. Oh, you're a beauty. Oh, you're a beast.
Yeah, but they do that.
How does that
feel? How did they not have Jonathan on no collar?
Yeah,
right.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. They pigeonhole people into characters, anyways. I mean, Romeo was a pageant guy, and you could tell that they were just milking him. Like, if this was a pageant, like, what would you tell the women that you work with? Yeah. Or tell us in terms of a pageant, like, what would it mean winning Survivor? Well, I'm going to be Mr. Survivor, yeah, and I'm going to wear a tiara on my head. It's like, okay, fine. Like, just put them into tribes like that, you know? Like,
but you just sounds like you just want it for the brand.
I want it for the marketing because Skates, you said it before, like, people, the Survivor fans are the Survivor fans. We know this. They're always going to watch no matter what. So it's like, all right, why come up with a subtitle or a concept anymore? But I don't know. It helps to rope me in.
I think what we're saying are sort of two, like, well, I think we're getting to the same thing. But what we're saying is we don't need to have beauty versus brawn versus brains, because then what you're doing, I think, has been proven, like, well, now we gotta find so many bronze and we gotta find so many beauties.
Right.
And you're probably leaving so many great potential players, you know, on the cutting room floor because they don't fit into one of these weird boxes that you've come up with.
Right.
But we do just want a name for it. Like, just have a brand new cast.
Yeah.
Totally cool.
Yeah.
These were incredible casting jobs on 41 and 42, but just give us the tiniest, be it, they could have literally picked one of those twists that they had in this game and just slapped it on there.
Right.
For whatever reason, we'd be going, wow, Survivor 42, do or die. Like,
yeah.
Well, in this case, we would have known what it meant, but like 41, we wouldn't know. We'd be like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to die? What? That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it works. Like with blue collar, red, what was it?
Blue collar, white collar, and no collar.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
But it was hilarious how people would just sort of pigeonhole themselves into that. It's like the prison Stanford experiment.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it was just like, well, I'm blue collar, so this is how we're going to run our tribe.
Yeah. David versus Goliath.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, bronze beauty brains. It's like, oh, I'm the smart one, so we better play this game smart. You know what I mean? Like, that part of it is kind of interesting to me. But yeah, you're right. It's just, I just want something to sink my teeth into.
Survivor 43, Shot in the Dark. Just sounds good, honestly.
Sure. It does sound good. It sounds great.
There's a lot of twists.
Yeah.
Survivor 44, Shipwheel Island.
There you go. Done.
Exactly. Got to go there.
Why not?
Cool.
Got a name now.
Well, we'll be watching regardless. Survivor 43 and the cast, from what we can tell in, 90 seconds. I was hooked. I was like, damn, we got some, appears to be some great characters here,
too. Got some characters,
they're talking to me. They're talking in their confessional to me how pumped they are and how they're going to win this game. I believe them. So, you know, we'll be back for Survivor 43 Octopus, as Min Power just called
Octopussy.
It. Yeah. That's great. Okay, any other thoughts? I think we could start wrapping this up. Guys, going to miss you guys here on No Buffs.
Yeah, I'll see you on No Buffs. We're not going to see each other anymore.
No.
I mean, like, until the next season comes around, not going to be talking on a podcast until then. What are we going to do? What are we going to watch? There's nothing else on.
Well, we're apparently watching Mission Impossible movies.
Oh, is that locked in?
I don't know. I mean, we could. If you have an idea for what maybe No Buffs could do at one point during the season, the summer here, or during the off season between Survivor episodes or seasons, I should say, let us know. Email us nodunks@theathletic.com. Put your Survivor podcast ideas in an email, and maybe we'll get to doing one of them. It's always a blast talking Survivor with you guys. Thank you so much to Jason Concepcion for jumping on here, taking time out of his busy, busy schedule there. The guy's writing every movie and show you're going to be seeing for the next 12 months here. So, guys, thank you so much. Leave us a 5-star rating and review if you listen to the podcast. Subscribe to No Buffs on YouTube and hit that little notification button so you know when we are back live. Will it be in the fall for Survivor 43 Octopus, or will it be before that? We'll find out.
I like just naming it whatever they put on there.
Yeah.
Survivor 43 Octopus it is.
All right, guys. My man TK.
Yeah, Mr. Skeets.
Mr. Jeff. Mr. Sexy Jeff. It's been an honor. As he puts out the candle, the tribe has spoken.